Steven Jackson may be gone from Golden State, but we are here to help you set your fantasy basketball lineups and get you moving right along as we enter week four of the fantasy basketball season, week four of the NBA season. And hopefully you guys are off to a wonderful 3-0 start in one of my leagues that I'm in with Sergio Gonzalez. We are both atop the standings at 3-0. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me as always is Sergio Gonzalez. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com, the only place to come to get your basketball news and information. Sergio.
Yes, sir.
Steven Jackson is now dealt from the Golden State Warriors to the Charlotte Bobcats along with AC Law,
right,
for Rajah Bell
and
Vladimir Radmanovic. So the Space Cadet is back in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Rajah Bell is back in the Western Conference. AC Law is back in the Eastern Conference. Not that anybody cares. The biggest name obviously going in this deal is Steven Jackson. Let's start with him. What does this trade do for his fantasy value? Because everybody obviously looks at the Golden State Warriors and says, no matter what Don Nelson does, no matter how screwed up his rotations may be, if you can play and you play in his system, you put up stats. Does that change now that he is in Charlotte?
Yeah, obviously this is a little bit of a mixed bag for Steven Jackson. He is leaving one of the most potent offensive teams in the NBA for the team that's actually averaging the least amount of points in the NBA, in the Charlotte Bobcats. They're actually averaging under, I think, 83 points per game, which is pretty sick. 82.4 points per game, which is pretty bad.
It's not just pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. But this is actually going to turn out to be a good thing for Steven Jackson because they're in such dire need of a scoring presence that they're going to lean heavily on Steven Jackson to be that person. I think he could be actually the catalyst that could get them going offensively. That also applies to players like Raymond Felton and Gerald Wallace. I think he could be what they need to get them going.
And Boris Diaw, too, because Boris he's a guy well. that plays well when he has guys that score the ball. Here's the one thing I will say about Steven Jackson, why you should not be worried. And I say this as a Steven Jackson owner in several leagues. He was in Indiana. He averaged 18.7 points per game for the year and a half he was there. He was 16.4 points one season, 18.7 points another season. His 1 year in Atlanta, he was 18.1 points per game. He saw a big offensive boom when he went to Golden State, 20 points per game. I think he could still be in the 15 to 18 point per game range. I don't think he's going to take a huge hit. I think he's still a safe 15-4-4 type of player.
Right. I think the thing you worry about with a switch like this is how many shot attempts per game he's going to get. Obviously, in Golden State, they average a high volume of shot attempts, and Charlotte doesn't play as fast-paced a style, and that could have a negative impact. He was averaging around 15 shots per game in Golden State. I think he'll be able to stay around that level with the Bobcats because, again, they're going to need him to be that go-to scorer that they don't have right now. So they're gonna get him 15 to 20 shots per game. It's going to vary depending on the opponent, depending on the pace of the game. But I think he can absolutely maintain the averages that he's had so far in Golden State, which he's around 15-4-4, something like that. So I think he can stay along that pace and hopefully a little bit happier now in Charlotte and proving that he playing with the desire to prove that he's not a problem like Don Nelson was making him out to be, could actually help him even increase upon those averages.
Well, I think you're right, because remember when he went to Golden State, he wanted to prove that his image wasn't as bad as being made out to be when he went into the stands in Detroit when he was with Indiana with
exactly.
the brawl. The second thing being, this isn't Richard Jefferson going to San Antonio,
right,
where you're trying to fit a scorer into a team that's established. He's going to a place, like we said, they're averaging a league low 82.4 points per game. They need him. It's not like they're trying to fit him into a system where he has to play a role.
Right.
He automatically goes there and becomes their best scorer. There's no doubt about it. As good as Gerald Wallace is, as much of an all-around player as Boris Diaw is, as much promise as we still may be waiting for from Raymond Felton, they need Steven Jackson. So I think if you were concerned about a potential move, this is almost as good as it could potentially be unless he was going to Phoenix or New York.
Right, and I'll tell you what, it got really close from what I'm hearing to being a very bad move for Steven Jackson. There were rumors that LeBron James approved
Cleveland.
A deal to Cleveland, which would have been horrible for Steven Jackson's fantasy appeal. So,
yes.
In retrospect, this is actually very good news for fantasy.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, ideally, you want to see him stay in Golden State. Where he
be happy
thrive.
In Golden State, but that wasn't going to happen.
Yes.
So the next best thing, I think, is a move like this.
Yes. in terms of the other guys, we sort of touched on this a little bit. I think it helps. You're not benching Gerald Wallace. You're not benching Boris Diaw. You're probably going to ride things out a little bit when you talk about Raymond Felton and Tyson Chandler and just their roles are sort of backup fantasy options to begin with. So those guys, I think, you see a little bit of a boost for the guys that you're using. Right. In Golden State now, we have a couple of things to address. So first off, let's just assume Rajah Bell, I'll say he comes off the bench.
Okay. They start Monta Ellis and Stephen Curry. As they have been, and Rajah Bell off the bench, I think is the most likely scenario.
Yes. Rajah Bell is a guy that provides defense. He's a guy that provides scoring from his outside shot, but he's not a prolific scorer. He's 33 years old. He's also dealing with a wrist injury that he's trying to play through.
Right.
And who knows? He may be upset about this trade. I doubt it. He's not that type of player. But he may be upset enough about this trade that he may opt to have the surgery that he's been postponing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Something to keep in mind with Rajah Bell. I don't think that you should go run out and grab Rajah Bell unless you have an empty roster spot and you've been sort of playing the waiver wire on a weekly basis and, you know, maybe picked up a Darren Collison here or a Tony Douglas there, you know, and just sort of rotating in and out with your last roster spot, Dante Jones. You know, guys have just been, you know, picked up and dropped.
Right.
I think Rajah Bell is worth adding in that scenario, but I wouldn't drop somebody of significance for Rajah Bell. Would you agree?
I do agree. What I do like for him is that Stephen Curry has been struggling lately. The Warriors have lost Kelvin Azubuike. He was their presence off the bench in terms of scoring, and they could use a guy like
you Rajah. Say they lost him. He's out for how long?
He's out until at least February, and I'm actually hearing things, rumors that he could be out for the season. So, Azubuike, I wouldn't expect him to be a factor until at least after the All-Star break, and that's where Rajah Bell could step in. And you're talking about again an offense, a high volume offense. Nelson loves scorers like Rajah Bell, and he can find them. About 10 to 13 shots per game. If that happens, then you could be talking about an interesting sleeper. Even when in Charlotte, Rajah Bell managed to average in double figures consistently. You transfer that to Golden State, and all of a sudden 12, 13 points per game could turn into 15 points per game. So.
Yes. I do think that Anthony Morrow gets a boost. I think Anthony Randolph gets a boost. I think Corey Maggette probably gets
Corey
the biggest
Maggette,
boost.
Yes. Especially with the Azubuike news.
Yes, that's a guy that that is intriguing in terms of what he can do, and he's been getting hot the last couple of games.
Yes.
Unfortunately, not getting the minutes, though. That's the interesting thing. He's only been playing he hasn't played, I think, 25 minutes in his last three games.
Don Nelson strikes again.
But he's still putting up points.
I think he has no choice now but to...
Well, I think when you look at Maggette and his history, especially last year with Golden State, he brings him off the bench to just score.
Yeah.
He doesn't bring him in to play with the starting group. It's usually as a second unit. And when he brings him in with that second unit, he just says, go crazy. And that's what Maggette does.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls him off the court. Radmanovic is intriguing because he's a big man who can shoot. And in that type of system could find himself a role.
And he offers Nelson flexibility, which he likes. He can kind of use him around he can use him at the three or the four, actually.
Or the five.
Or and even with, five.
Yeah, at 6 foot ten, the way that Nelson likes to do things, he could be the backup.
So he fits
center.
In with Nelson.
Yeah. And AC Law has no impact.
He was added to the deal for his contract.
Yep.
That was it.
No impact whatsoever because we know it's Felton and DJ Augustin in terms of the point guards there. Okay, moving on. Speaking of point guards, Chris Paul has the sprained ankle. Terrible, terrible situation to see. It's just unfortunate to see one of the best, if not the best, players in fantasy basketball. He's somebody that you can make the argument is 1A to LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Especially in category basically.
Yeah, hurts his ankle and goes down, and that's just terrible to see. Where are we at now with Chris Paul, and how long do you think he will be out? Give me your ballpark estimate. I know he's ruled out indefinitely. They don't have anything definitive.
Right.
Are we looking at 2 weeks, as initially reported? Are we looking at the All-Star break, potentially?
The most conservative reports I'm hearing are 2 weeks. I'm hearing also 3 to 4 weeks due to the severity of the ankle sprain. The fact that the Hornets haven't come out and said anything kind of scares me. They seem to be preparing for a lengthy absence. It sounds to me at this point that it's more of a week-to-week thing than a day-to-day thing. They're saying they're going to reevaluate him on a daily basis. But it doesn't sound like he's going to be around for at least the next couple weeks. So fantasy owners are going to have to prepare for a lengthy absence without their number one pick.
Do we see him before Christmas?
If I had to put down, my best estimate is that he'd miss in between 3 to 4 weeks. So
we're looking around Christmas.
We're looking around Christmas. And at that point, do they begin to start thinking about keeping him out through the All-Star break?
Well, no, the All-Star break's not until February, so we're not... They're not going to keep him out an additional 6 weeks on top of that.
Christmas.
So we see him by Christmas.
By Christmas. Okay. Around Christmas, around that time. Not Christmas sooner. Present in your stocking for fantasy.
Not sooner.
Not sooner, I don't think so.
Okay, because we know this team's a mess right now. Now, what does this do, first off, to the guys that are going to replace him? Because it seems to be a little bit of a mixed bag, because we know that they like Darren Collison, which is why they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they also have a little bit of inclination to want to use Devin Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry, Bobby Brown.
Bobby and Devin.
Well, Devin Brown's more of a two guard, right. But Bobby Brown is a backup point guard. And then also this kid Thornton as well. Where do we see this going? Is Collison the one to run out and grab?
Collison, I think, has the most upside of the group. The two Browns are obviously veterans. Bobby Brown had the biggest impact in terms of assists in his last game. He had
the
seven.
First game that Paul was out.
Right, the first game that Paul was out, he had seven assists, where Collison only had four.
Yes,
I think that's something that could develop over time, obviously.
But Collison played, I think it was two or three more minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And Collison, again, he's got the higher ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Brown, I think if you're looking short term and need an immediate fill-in, you might go that route. But it's something to keep an eye on, definitely, over the course of this upcoming week. If you want to make a waiver wire claim right now just to stash somebody, I'd go Collison.
Yeah, that's what I did in one of my, I think two of my leagues, I went on and picked up Collison simply because, like you say, I agree, the ceiling is higher there. Now, where do we look at in terms of, we now have a coaching change in New Orleans, which was the last time we spoke on the podcast, and now we have the leading scorer, leading playmaker, leading everything for this team out. What do you go with? There are really three guys on this team, Paul being one, David West being the second, and Emeka Okafor being the third. These are the three main guys that fantasy owners rely on. Now, you get some leagues where you're using Peja Stojakovic, and I'm glad to see him back in the starting lineup, which I think is the right move to do, because this is not a guy that should come off the bench. You never want to have a shooter come off the bench that's a rhythm shooter like this.
Right.
Jason Capono is a different story. He can get hot in an instant. Peja Stojakovic needs to be on the court. Where do we look at, though, with the two other guys, the two big men? David West, I don't think, really gets in much of an impact. I think you throw him the ball down low, he's going to be the same no matter what.
Yeah, I think the scary thing to think about is in the long term, with a team that appears to be headed in the wrong direction, any kind of an injury, especially even like I was talking about earlier with a guy like Chris Paul, they could be in shutdown mode really early this year. And any kind of a long-term injury come around, when we're talking about like the fantasy playoffs and stuff like that, a regular injury that would keep a player out a couple games could turn into a couple weeks, and maybe they just decide to shut him down for the course of the season. The other thing I'm hearing is that Emeka Okafor is being talked about in trade rumors. I mean, all signs point to them calling it a season already, and that's sad to think about, but the state of events in New Orleans right now is not conducive to good news for fantasy owners.
So you're saying to do what with West and Okafor? Shop them now?
I wouldn't rule out. You can't call them sell high, because obviously this is not a high point for their value. But
well, in terms of their, I don't know if I would agree with that. I think if you're talking about Okafor, hasn't gotten off to the best start, so you're not going to get.
He's been decent though.
He's been decent, but he's not been out. You know, he had a great first week,
right?
So second week, and a terrible third week. So when you're looking at him now, you're obviously realizing that it's a tough go, because he's not really a post player.
Right.
He needs a playmaker around him, and he doesn't have that right now.
Right.
But the rebounds could be up, because everybody's going to be missing shots. The other side of it is, anybody that you're trying to trade him to, like you said, his value is not very high.
Right.
But, you know, I think he's mixed bag. But David West, I think he's going to be the same. I just don't see a big change for him, because he's a guy you dump the ball into. He gets double teamed already regardless, because they have no real anybody to spread the ball, especially without Russell Butler there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I have these guys, now Okafor is a little tough because you're losing the center value.
Right.
But I think if you could trade David West while his value is still at a decent level, now I think is the time to do so.
Right. So again, it's not that his value is high per se. It's just that it might be the highest. It's because it could be on the verge of declining. So
he could also take a bump in scoring, though, because of Paul not there to take shots away from him.
Not there, but he's also not there to set him up.
Yeah, but he's their half court presence. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, it's not necessarily a scenario where they run pick and roll with Paul and West, but that's not the focal point of West's game.
Yeah, David West, I think he's going to be a low-end number one forward as long as he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. So you would hold on to him?
I'd hold on to him and see if a little bit of a spike at some point you could maybe consider getting good value out of him. I just don't think his value is high enough at this moment that you're going to – I mean, people see the exact same thing that you're seeing, and they know it's kind of a panic move. So
true.
Now is probably not the best time to make that kind of
move. Now, what if you're the flip side of it and you see an owner that's maybe struggling a little bit? Do you try and take a David West off his hands?
Right. That's a proactive approach where you could capitalize on a situation like this, somebody else's headache, and say – you could say these exact same things. Like, look, things are going to get – a lot worse before they get better in New Orleans, and you might want to get rid of a guy like West while you still can. And if that happens, then you can find yourself a number one forward at a pretty cheap value.
Same thing with Okafor?
Yeah, Okafor, especially with the center value. I'm a little concerned about these rumors that I'm hearing about a trade, because obviously if he goes to the wrong team, then all of a sudden you're looking at a big drop in value.
But you don't think he's 10-10 no matter where he goes?
Yeah, he could be around 10-10, but if all things considered, things were looking up for him at the beginning of the season when Chris Paul was healthy. We all know that Chris Paul sets people up better than any player in the NBA right now. A lot of those alley-oop dunks and
Steve Nash may argue with that,
though. Yeah, he's up there with him. But now without Chris Paul, things are going to go down south, and it's a scary situation with Okafor right now.
We go to Orlando where Rashard Lewis is coming back. Do you start him right away?
Yes. I think conditioning could be an issue for a game or two, but he'll be fine. He wasn't dealing with an injury, obviously. He was suspended for 10 games for performance-enhancing substances. But I think he's going to be hungry to get back out there and make an impact with a team that has a good chance of being a contender this year, and I think he'll be fine right out of the gate.
What is the latest with Shaquille O'Neal and his shoulder issue, and does Anderson Varejao get a little bit of a bump?
Shaq is going to, he's doubtful for the team's first game, which I believe is Tuesday this week. That could mean added value for a player that stepped up in the last week. That's J.J. Hickson. Anderson Varejao also would see more minutes as a result. He's been coming off the bench lately. Zydrunas Ilgauskas would start at the five, and Hickson would start at the four with Varejao playing behind both players. Right now, it doesn't seem like it's a long-term thing, but it does sound like he'll miss at least one game this week.
Yeah, I was at the game Thursday when they played Miami, and I'll tell you what, Hickson, he had a very good game there. He had a very good game, I believe it was either Friday or Saturday, to follow it up. Somebody worth adding, I think, in deeper leagues at this point, especially now that he's starting. He's a garbage guy for them, and when you play with LeBron and you don't have to worry about anybody covering you when you're talking about LeBron and Shaq, all he has to do is get to the front of the rim, and he's going to have a lot of cheap baskets. So if you're looking for some help there, I think he is somebody to definitely keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
Speaking of shoulder injuries, Anton Jameson comes back, or is expected to come back.
He should come back.
For week four.
Right.
Do you start him right away?
He's a little trickier because he is dealing with an injury. He is coming off a pretty significant shoulder injury that kept him out the first 3 weeks. He suffered it towards the end of the preseason. The Wizards have just three games this week, and if you talk about conditioning and trying to get him back into the mix, he could get off to a little bit of a slow start. If you've gotten by without him the first 3 weeks, this could be a week where you just play cautious and just observe him from afar while he's reserve on your bench, and then you'd look to activate him in week five.
We have a couple of guys that probably are fantasy reserves for the most part. Maybe one guy is a marginal starter, Maurice Spates, but Travis Outlaw, Maurice Spates, both out for at least 6 to 8 weeks. What do you do with guys like this, Sergio? Because typically, these are guys that are going to hang around the end of your bench. I think a Travis Outlaw, you probably release.
Yeah, Outlaw you can cut. He's waiver wire fodder. He's on and off rosters anyway, kind of based on matchups. At this point, you can cut him and worry about picking him up as he gets closer to his return. Spates has a little bit more upside, and he was playing a significant role, especially with Elton Brand struggling so much. I think out of the two players, the only one I'd consider stashing, even if you don't have a reserve spot, is Spates at this point.
Do you think that we're going to have to worry at all about guys like Kobe Bryant, Rodney Stuckey, Eric Dampier, any of these guys that are dealing with some minor injuries? Is this something that's anything to be a cause of concern?
Kobe, anytime you deal with any kind of an injury with a player like Kobe, you're concerned. He was able to play through it. We're talking about a groin injury with Kobe. That could get worse. Injuries like that tend to get worse if you play through it. But if the Lakers are letting him play through it, we see how cautious they're being with Pau Gasol. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's not significant enough for them to shut him down for any length of time. If they thought this could get worse, they would shut him down. So I wouldn't be too concerned. Obviously, it's something to keep an eye on.
What about Rodney Stuckey with the ankle injury?
Ankle injuries are tricky, especially with guards that like to attack the basket like Stuckey does. Right now, it doesn't seem like it's too significant, but we didn't think that Tayshaun Prince's injury was that significant either, and then he ended up being out for a lengthy amount of time. So it's just something you want to keep an eye on.
Eric Dampier has an illness. Eric Dampier also did not help you in your little wager that we made.
Did not.
To recap what we talked about here on our podcast, Sergio was very high on Eric Dampier going into last week's scoring period. I was not as much. He had four games, and I said to Sergio that Kendrick Perkins and Anderson Varejao would outplay Dampier in with both of them having three games and Dampier having four games. Now, in the instance of Kendrick Perkins, I crushed you.
Yes.
In the instance of Anderson Varejao, he got sent to the bench.
Right.
So Sergio was kind enough before yesterday's games.
Yesterday being Sunday.
Sunday's games. Yesterday, Sergio was kind enough to throw Varejao out of the equation because it was pretty close between Perkins and Dampier coming into Sunday when Perkins' schedule was over and Dampier had one more game to play. However, Dampier did not play because he was in the hospital with this illness. So we called it a wash. And I believe we have another wager going this week, right? It's Devin Brown versus Tony Douglas, I think, correct?
Yes.
Devin Brown versus Tony Douglas.
Yeah,
but we're going to throw that one out, too, because this was before Chris Paul got hurt. So I think to help Sergio out a little bit here.
How gracious.
Because I'm still confident in my Tony Douglas pick against Devin Brown. He could have Chris Paul and LeBron James on his roster, and I'll take Tony Douglas. In any event, so Dampier let you down. Dampier's in the hospital overnight.
He got off to a great start.
He got off to a monster start. He did not miss a shot. I believe he had 15 points.
He had 14 and 20 rebounds.
14 and 20 rebounds, and I think he finished with 15 and 22.
And then the rest of the week he did absolutely nothing.
Yes. You wonder how much, though, if he was dealing with some sort of ailment. Yeah, maybe it played a role. But as I told you before, I'll take the steady Eddie of Kendrick Perkins and, at the time, Anderson Varejao.
Right.
Compared to up and down Erica Dampier, as Shaq wants to call them. So there's your injury updates on the guys that are dealing with injuries. Two quick things, though, Serge.
Mm-hmm.
What's the status of Pau Gasol? Are we going to see him anytime soon?
Pau Gasol is probably going to miss at least another week. They keep putting back his injury. And like I talked about with Kobe Bryant, they have big goals in mind. And until they feel 100% certain that he's not going to suffer any kind of a setback, they're not going to put him on the floor. He was hopeful to come back last week, but he wasn't comfortable with the progress that the rehab was making, and they just decided to push it back a little bit further. So that's fantasy owners have no choice but to continue to wait. That's all you can do at this point.
Part of the thing with the Eric Dampier suggestion was that Josh Howard was going to be back and playing a role and taking minutes away from Dampier. That did not help my cause because Josh Howard is still dealing with this ankle problem. Is he going to be out for how long, and when do we expect to see him back?
He's been shut down, and he's going to be out indefinitely. They feel like he came back a little bit too soon. So he could, because of the setback that he suffered last week, he could be starting from scratch, which is a scary thing. Fantasy owners aren't going to have him definitely for the next couple of scoring periods. Like I said, he's been – they haven't really – set up a timetable yet, so you're going to want to keep checking back on that. But at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if he's out until maybe around the time Chris Paul comes back.
Wow, that's tough. Looking at a couple of guys that left for personal reasons, Al Jefferson, Deron Williams, where are we at with those two guys?
Al Jefferson was going to miss two games. He missed those two games last week. He's expected back for this week. The Timberwolves play just two games this week, I believe, so fantasy owners could take a cautious approach and just leave him out due to the schedule. He also hasn't been performing at the level of Al Jefferson. So he's been around 16 points and 6 rebounds per game. If you're in a cumulative league, you could consider reserving him this week, but it's not as a result of the personal issues. If that's the reason you're considering reserving him, don't worry about that.
I want to ask you quickly before we wrap this up about some guys who are If you go to CBSSports.com and fantasynews.cbsports.com, you can see the most added players, most dropped players, most viewed players, and most traded players. I want to talk to you about some of the most added players.
Okay.
Tony Douglas, I think that's obvious. He plays for the Knicks. He's a scoring guard. He had a fantastic debut so far, and I think he's definitely worth adding. We talked about Stuckey and his injury. Do you recommend Will Bynum as somebody to pick up?
Yeah, he had a very strong preseason, and in the chances he's gotten during the regular season, he's been able to contribute as well. If this injury to Stuckey is significant at all, then all of a sudden you could be talking about a player you could plug in as a solid number three guard in any fantasy format.
We know about Darren Collison. What about Carl Landry? Is he going to continue to play at this level? He's been up and down at points.
Yeah.
But is it mostly just because you could potentially use him at center in leagues where you get dual eligibility?
He's a player that he had three games in a row where he had at least 19 points. Then he had a clunker. And that's probably something that you can expect from him across the board. The Houston Rockets don't have a lot of depth at the big man spots. He's been able to take advantage of that.
I disagree with you. They have plenty of depth. They don't have talent.
They don't have talent. Okay. They have roster depth.
They have Luis Scola and a collection of clunkers, as you say.
Exactly. He's been able to carve out a little bit of a niche as their inside presence off the bench with the second unit. Don't expect a lot of consistency out of him, but he could, when he's hot and facing favorable matchups like he did in that week where he had three straight big games, could be of a lot of use to fantasy owners.
Brandon Haywood, is he somebody that can keep this up? And what about Andre Blatch with the return of Jameson?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that they're not going to be able to keep up their production. They were both very, very useful to fantasy owners the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. But now that Jameson's back, he's eventually, like I said, it could take him a couple games to get back to full strength. But when he does, he's going to be that 20-10 force that he's been when healthy the last few years. And that's going to take away. People are going to go back to their normal slots. Brandon Haywood, I could see him staying around 10 points per game and maybe 7 rebounds, which would be great for a number two center. As far as Andre Blatch, he's going to come off the bench, and then he's going to cut into the appeal of Haywood. So they're kind of going to cut into each other's value. Jameson's going to be just fine. So, yeah, I am concerned about those two players.
I know we keep waiting for him to cool off and say he's not worth it, but Dante Jones continues to put up stats. I know a lot of it has to do with Troy Murphy being out, but this is somebody that's, every time I look, Serge, I'm hesitant because of what you say. I don't pick him up, but
no. I think we've in the last couple of weeks we've come around on.
Well, I don't know if it's that we haven't come around, but I keep waiting for it, and I'm sure you do as well, for him to just go back to being more of a defensive role player.
Right.
You know, you'll see a double-digit game here and there, but mostly being an 8 point per game guy, a 4 or 5 rebound per game guy. You know, when he's hitting threes, he's getting hot. But other than that, he's just not a very consistent player throughout the course of his career. But again, now he's getting the opportunity to start. He's getting the opportunity to put up shots.
Yeah, we're going into the third week of this. We're almost talking about a full month of a sample size with Dante Jones. And I think we could start to remove him from the players where early on in the season you get a lot of players that get off to quick starts and everybody falls in love with them and they turn out to be busts. But I think Dante Jones has done this enough going into the first month of action already this week that we can start to consider him a reliable starter in fantasy. He had 25 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists in his last game. Mm-hmm. That was against the Boston Celtics. So,
In a game they won.
So I don't think it's a little bit more than a fluke at this point.
Let me ask you, Tony Douglas or Dante Jones, who would you rather pick up?
Dante Jones.
Dante Jones or Will Bynum?
Dante Jones.
Dante Jones or Beno Udrich?
Dante Jones.
So you would rather pick him up over Dante Jones or Darren Collison?
Dante Jones.
So you would rather pick him up over three significant injury replacement guys?
Mm-hmm. Because I think...
And one guy for arguably the best fantasy option team in the NBA.
Yes, because I don't think he has the inhibitors that some of the other guys have. Tony Douglas, I know you disagree with me a little bit, still has Nate Robinson in New York.
No, he does not.
He has Nate Robinson in New York.
He has no Chris Duhon in New York.
He doesn't have Chris Duhon, yes. But
and you know who stinks?
Who?
Wilson Chandler.
He's
that's
been a huge
disappointment.
Letdown.
I think that's where Tony Douglas gets minutes from, too.
Really? I could see that. But he has, obviously, there are all these elements around in New York that could.
But that's part of the allure of New York.
That there's so many.
There's that you don't know who it could be.
Yeah, but that's not something that fantasy owners like to deal with. It could
he's
be a different player every
he's
night.
Still putting up stats.
Yeah, I'm not. we're not talking about him being a bad fantasy option. Like I said last week, it's a matter of is there better fantasy options?
Sure.
And I do agree that Devin Brown was a little bit short-sighted on my part. But in the case of Dante Jones, that's a completely different situation. He's absolutely entrenched himself as their starting shooting
but
guard.
But what if Troy Murphy comes back at any point? Then what happens?
He still, even when Troy Murphy was healthy, Dante Jones was putting up.
Well, it wasn't at this level.
No.
He had the one good 20-point game.
He
had the one big game against Denver, and that obviously points to a revenge game. But I think the interesting thing is going to be, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
You and I both agree that Dante Jones is somebody that has value. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to put it in perspective here. Where do the minutes come from when Troy Murphy returns? Because it's not going to be Hibbert, because they have to have that inside presence.
Right.
It's not going to be at the point guard spot, because you have to go with whoever's there. Earl Watson's starting now,
right.
But Earl Watson or T.J. Ford. And we know whether he's playing the two or the three, it's not going to be Danny Granger.
Right. But I think Danny Granger's going to play the three, and Dante Jones is going to play the two. Troy Murphy's going to play the
four. So Brandon Rush is the odd man.
Like he's been for the most part of the season.
Well, no, Brandon Rush has actually been playing a little bit better as of late.
No, I know, because I think he's the one that was getting the boost when Troy Murphy was out. I don't think Dante Jones hasn't really fluctuated much. I don't think Brandon Rush, if you look at his game logs from the beginning of the season, he's been the player that fluctuated, and all of a sudden you saw the boost when Troy Murphy was out. Dante Jones has been steady. So I think Dante Jones will be fine, and Brandon Rush goes back to being a bench role player.
Any update with Allen Iverson before he closes?
The fact that Jamal Tinsley was signed by the Memphis Grizzlies leads me to believe that if he does come back, it definitely won't be with the Grizzlies.
Interesting. All right. Well, keep following that. We'll see what the latest is. And obviously, hopefully, your lineups are going well. You can send us emails, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's dmfantasybasball@cbs.com. I know I keep promising we're going to read emails.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
We're going to do it Thursday, I promise.
All right.
Sergio, your job is to gather and collect all the emails between now and Thursday, and we're going to read them on the air. So send us your emails, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. You could ask us anything. You could ask us what our favorite color is. You could ask us who our favorite players are of all time. You could ask Sergio why he's a Nets fan. You could ask us about players to add, players to drop, players who to trade for. We are more than happy to answer all of your questions, and we can tell you that Brandon Jennings is the next fantasy basketball stud. Again, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. You can check out everything we have to say at cbssports.com and fantasynews.cbssports.com. For Sergio Gonzalez, our great producer Adam Azer, and Aaron Brown, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.